This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Mindful Ramadan 2021. We're so happy to have you here. You know, we are always seeing individuals possibly doing things wrong. We see it in our family members. We see it when we go to the masjid or in the community. And there is something within us. Do I bring it up? How do I bring it up? And it's so critical for us to understand the importance of giving advice and knowing how to give it. So today I have my dear friend, Ustada Fusaina Muhammad, to share the importance of being a mirror for our brothers and sisters, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi barakatuh. Very nice to see you all. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. Mashallah. It's a pleasure to have you here. So we are told about the idea of being a mirror to our brother and sister. Could you expand on that?
Yes. So this idea comes from a narration. There's several different versions of this narration. One version where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min," right? So the believer is the mirror for the believer. Another one where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "A believer is the mirror of his brother. When he sees a fault in it, he should correct it," right? So there are many different narrations which talk about liken the believers as being mirrors for one another. And so, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of the times we take this to mean that just like when you look in a mirror, right? Why do we use mirrors, right? I want to make sure my hijab looks good. You know, I don't have a spot on my face, right? We use a mirror to try to see what do I look like right now? And is there anything that I can do to freshen up or to, you know, to improve my look? Right? So that's what the purpose of a mirror is. And that is what the purpose of our sincere advice to one another is as well.
Very important, so that we want to be able to be a reflection for our brother and sister. Now, some people take this to heart and they are like, my mission is to set everyone straight, right? When I see something, a deen and nasiha, right? Yes. Religion is giving advice and they are on a mission and they will give, let everybody have it. And it creates actually a lot of problems. What are your thoughts about individuals who take this on and it's their mission in life to set everybody straight?
Well, I would say jazakallah khairan, but maybe let's step back a little bit and let's try to understand how this works, right? You know, the other narration that you just mentioned, ad-dinu nasiha, right? The religion is nasiha. And a lot of the times people just translate nasiha as advice, which already is a problematic translation. Because the hadith continues, right, where the companions actually asked for clarification. قُلْنَا لِمَنْ, we said, for who? نَصِيحَ for who? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, لِلَّهِ, for Allah, وَلِرَسُولِهِ, for his messenger. And it goes on, right? So already you know that it can't really mean advice, because what does that mean, advice for Allah, right? نَصِيحَ means good thoughts, positive thoughts, good thoughts. It can also mean to, in some senses, having obedience and respect as well. So there's many different understandings, but we won't get into that. Let's just talk a little bit about advice, right? When we talk about giving people advice. Under this hadith of ad-din al-nasiha, there's actually a very long explanation about when it comes to giving advice, how do you give advice? The first misconception that a lot of people have is that giving advice is my duty. And the reason I'm giving advice is because I have to, right? So people have this idea of يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, right? So you command that which is good and you forbid that which is evil. So people have this checklist where, oh, I see something going wrong. I have to command what is good and forbid what is evil. Check, I did my part, wash my hands, I'm done. Which is unfortunate, because what is the purpose of giving advice? The purpose of giving advice is to help the other person, right?
Please now, if that. Please repeat that, because that's so important.
Let's write that down. The purpose of giving advice is to help the other person. if my advice, if my approach, if my words, if I'm not going to help, then I haven't given advice. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't be the person involved in this interaction. Mm-hmm. That's the long and short of it, right? And unfortunately, a lot of people who follow this idea of commanding good, forbidding evil, ad-dinu nasiha, tend to just bulldoze into a situation, drop some sort of fiqh or hadith or fatwa, and peace out. And they say, yes, you know, my work here is done.
It's all about them, right? It's all about them, because it's like, I'm checking it off. I did my duty. They're not thinking about the other person. They're not thinking about where are they at in their deen? Where are they at emotionally? There's no psychology applied at all.
And, you know, so the first thing that we want to talk about is ask yourself if I'm the right person for this situation. You know, I'll give you an example again from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of my favorite stories of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is when Fath Makkah, right, when the liberation of Mecca happened, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Bilal to climb up onto the Kaaba and call the adhan. Now imagine the honor of being the person on this day, at this moment, to stand on the Kaaba and call the adhan, right? But the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, I'll do it myself. I am the most qualified, right? And he would be within his rights, obviously, to say that. But no, the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm going to pick the best person for this job at the moment, and that is Bilal, right? We see so many examples where the Prophet ﷺ picked somebody to do something, right? And he... if he had done it himself, obviously, you know, that we would say that he's the best person because he's the Prophet, right? So the first question is to ask myself, am I the right person, right? And there could be many reasons why I'm not the right person, right? Maybe there's a language barrier, right? Maybe I don't speak the same language as the person I'm trying to advise. Maybe I don't know them as well as somebody else in the, you know, right, in the situation does, right? I don't know their situation. There's so many things. We'll get into each one of those points, but the first question is, am I the right person for this situation? And if the answer is no, then step back. Even if you don't know who the right person is, step back. Because another thing is, a lot of the times people say, well, if I don't say something, then what's going to happen? It's okay. You know, there's other people in the world. Allah will pick somebody else, right? You're not the only person in the world, right? So that's the other thing, is sometimes people feel like it's me or nothing, right? I'm the only one available. And that's never true. That's just not true, right? So sometimes we have to be willing to step back, because again, it's not about me. It's about this other person, right?
Right.
So that's the very first point, and I think really the most important point.
That is so important, because if you're not the right person, you may actually push the person away from the deen. And I see this all the time, and I'm sure we've all heard stories of someone, a well-meaning person, let's give them, like, we were going to give them husna then, we're going to think the best of them, that they meant to guide in the best way that they knew how. But unfortunately, because of their harshness, because of a lack of gentleness, with a lack of wisdom, they end up saying or doing something that a person will, like, let's say, never come back to the mosque or never want to pray. And that is something we want to make sure we avoid. So it's not just getting people towards the deen, but it's like making sure that they stay, that we want them to stay in the deen without the harshness.
Exactly. And, you know, that's so true, because making the situation worse is so much worse than just leaving it as it is, right? If, like you said, if somebody comes to the masjid, let's say they come to the masjid and their hijab's a little off, right? If I yell at this person, then I'm going to set them back, because now they may not even come to the masjid. Right?
And that's on your record.
Right? That's on your, that's not something you can check off and say, well, I, you know, I commanded to good and forbade evil. No, you actually ended up commanding to evil and forbidding good.
Right. That is a very important point that we need to really digest it, that in the effort of trying to give advice, we don't push someone away.
It's way better to leave somebody where they're at than push them back.
Right. Very nice point. What is the what is the second step that we need to be aware of?
So the second thing is check your knowledge, right? So let me give you a simple example, right? Let's say that, for example, this is something that actually my mom experienced, right? I remember when she called me and she was like, do you really have to wear socks when you pray? And I was like, what is this? Such a random question. Right. Apparently, she had gone to the masjid and had been going for a little bit. And there was a lady there who kept insisting, your feet aren't covered, sister, your feet aren't covered. And, you know, like you have those kind of people who feel like they're being helpful. They'll like throw a jacket over your feet while you're praying and stuff like that.
Right.
So I guess she got really frustrated and was like, what do you have to cover your feet? And there's a difference of opinion, right? So different schools of thought have different opinions, right? But this particular sister had it in her mind. She had no idea that there's a difference of opinion. So she thought my way is the only way, and I'm saving this sister, you know, I'm saving her salah because otherwise her salah won't be accepted. And, you know, that's how they ended up in this situation. And unfortunately, it was making it uncomfortable, you know, for my mom to now want to go to the masjid. So the first thing is making sure that whatever I'm correcting, I know for sure what I'm doing. And 99.9% of the time, people don't, right? People haven't researched. They just, they ask their sheikh like and the sheikh said yes or no. 99.9%.
Right. They're just guessing or they're, you know, they've seen it. It's not made. Yes. It's usually not based on the facts.
It's usually not based on facts. And, you know, another thing that I will say is that sometimes people will ask a teacher, is this halal? Is this haram? Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a teacher will give a short answer. Right. Mm-hmm. Without going into the research of the thing. Right. So let's, you know, the same example I was giving with the covering of the feet. Do you have to cover your feet when you pray? Maybe the sheikh, knowing this person's madhab, just said yes. Because I know you follow this particular madhab and the answer is yes in your school of thought. So I'm just going to tell you yes, right?
Right.
And so then this person goes and starts applying that to everybody around them. So unless a person has actually researched something, I think it's very important also to be sure that you're aware if there's any differences of opinion about the thing that you're trying to correct people on, right? Make sure you know for sure that I am correct and the thing I'm correcting is actually a legitimate thing.
When staying within your lanes, I get questions all the time, and they're asking for fatwas. Can I buy a house? Can I get a mortgage? And I say, this is not my area of expertise. Please ask a local imam, a sheikh, because if we venture into an area where we're not, you know, if we're not qualified or we're not the right person to say, then we're misleading, and that weighs heavily on our conscience. It should weigh heavily. We can't just talk randomly.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm so glad you mentioned that, staying in your lane, right? It's so very important, right? So now let's continue, right? So let's say that I know what I'm talking about, right? Let's give a simple example. I am in this community. I come to this masjid every day. I know the Qibla is this way. And I come in and I see a sister praying in the opposite direction, right? Mm-hmm. So now I have to correct her, right? Do I just yell at her and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you praying that way? You know, do I say, why didn't you check your phone before you prayed? Or, you know, you come with some gentle words and you say, sister, not sure if you're aware, but the Qibla is actually this way, you know, sorry to bother you. May Allah accept your salah, right? Make some dua for her, right?
Right. So
once I know, you know, my information, the question now becomes, how do I approach the person? Mm-hmm. And there's two things that are very, very important here when you're approaching someone to give them advice. Number one, knowing the person. One of our teachers just flat out told us, if you don't know someone, don't give them advice. And I think this was great advice because you don't know the person, right? Different people respond to different forms of delivery of advice, right? Some people are okay if you're just blunt and you say, hey, you forgot to do this, or hey, stop doing that. Some people are okay if you talk to them like that, you know, but some people need a gentler approach, right? So if I don't know what the most effective way to communicate with this person so it benefits them is, then I shouldn't communicate with them, right? Now, it's not to say that I should never give them advice, but it really is to say that I need to work on building a relationship with the person
right.
so that I can understand.
I'm glad you said that, right? It's about building a rapport, right? Because mm-hmm. you may not know the person, but taking just a few minutes, small talk, making them feel like you're a kind person, you're not out to get them, you're not the police, you know, making mm-hmm. them relax. And I think when you do that, even if you may not know them, but you build a little bit of rapport and you say it in a gentle way without harshness and with humility, then most of the time it could be they can be receptive.
Right, right. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because one thing that makes people receptive to advice, I think the most important thing, is they feel that the person who's giving them the advice cares about them and what's mm-hmm. what's best for them. If I think that you're telling me something because you care about me, I am more likely to listen. Right. So like you said, it could just be a few minutes. Oh, assalamu alaikum, sister. You're new to this masjid. Oh, my name is mm-hmm. Fasena. What's your name? Where did you come from? Oh, okay. Tell me a little bit about your family. Oh, that's wonderful. Let me give you a tour of the masjid. Let me, you know, like the Beautiful. First thing.
Yes.
Sometimes you have people who will just give advice. They don't introduce themselves. They don't tell you their name. They don't ask your name. It's right. like, I don't care about you, but I'm going to tell you what to do.
Yes, right. That's a very important point, that we need to make them feel like we care. And I think yes. when you come in with that humility too, it's not about I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm here to fix you. It's more about I love you, you know, and I want the best for you, because it's like you want for your brother or sister what you want for yourself. That hadith in itself, if we just apply that alone, mm-hmm. it would change our ummah. Yes. So mm-hmm. showing the care is so critical, mashallah.
yes right. So getting to know the person, building a relationship with them, then the next thing that goes along with that is knowing their situation. Mm-hmm. Right, we don't know why this person is doing what they're doing. We don't know if they might have a reason for doing it, right? So when we talk about Ramadan, for example, let's say you see someone who's Muslim and they're eating during Ramadan, right? I know this is something that happens, let's say in the office, right? Maybe you right. work in an office and there's other Muslims who work there too, and you see one of your Muslim coworkers eating. And you're like, no, we made a big deal about Ramadan. We told HR that they have to, you know, tell the world about Ramadan and be accommodating to Muslims. And right. now you're eating, right? So it could be anything, right? Maybe the person has some illness, right? Maybe the person had to have some sort of medical procedure done today, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't realize Ramadan started. Maybe they forgot, whatever it is, right? But to go to that person in a, in a combative way, or without trying to understand their situation, can lead to that person feeling belittled, feeling embarrassed.
Judged. Right? Yeah.
Feeling judged. Exactly. Exactly. And it could also put that person in an embarrassing situation sure. where they feel they have to share something private with you just so that you won't judge them. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's really the worst place to be, because now, you know, someone has to feel like they have to disclose a medical condition they didn't want the whole world to know right. just because you're being the haram police, or they have to disclose right. that, you know what, I can't afford a different right. hijab, or I can't, you know, whatever it is, right?
Right.
It's very important to know a person's situation as well.
Knowing the situation and leaving that which does not concern you. Mm-hmm. I think that hadith is like Allahu Akbar. Like we need to maybe blow that up and put it in all the masajids. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think so, right? And you know, the wording of the hadith, the Prophet says, "Min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." Min husni islam al mar'i. Like the most excellent mm-hmm. trait you can have as a Muslim. I mean, husn, right? The most excellent trait you can have as a Muslim is to leave things that don't concern you. Mm-hmm. So beautiful, right? It's really? it helps us to build a society where people feel comfortable, mm-hmm. people don't feel judged,
right.
people feel like they're able to enter the society without judgment, without criticism, and they're able to grow and improve at a pace that works for them.
And when you look at it from a psychological perspective, you really see that people thrive when there is acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. When you are showing affection and you have that sense of kindness, then that's when a person blossoms. But mm-hmm. sadly, many people associate going to the masjid or going to religious gatherings or even interacting with religious people is that they're all judgmental, right? Yep. And so they stay away. So we have a lot of work to do. And I really hope that this Ramadan, we can take each one of these characteristics and work on ourselves so that imagine the impact that it could have, that we're less judgmental, we're more kind, we leave behind, you know, those things that does not concern us. And way our masajids could be a place where people really, they come to feel accepted. They come to feel included and, and they don't have to be any particular way to fit in. They are as become as you are. You know, I remember seeing this in one of the, I think churches that come as you are. You don't have to dress up, come in jeans, you know. Yeah. And it was like, I thought it was a beautiful message of, you know, inclusiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's especially important during Ramadan because this is such a beautiful month where so many people get inspired to try and build their relationship, repair their relationship with the Quran, with Allah. And where else can you go but the masjid to do that, right? So someone finally gathers up the courage. I mean, imagine going to a building you've never been to, people you don't know, right? I know people who've told me their stories of sitting in the parking lot for hours. Sometimes they'll come to the parking lot, sit and leave. And then they'll try again and try again. And then finally that person works up the courage, comes inside, tries to smile. Oh, assalamu alaikum. And somebody says, oh, that t-shirt isn't appropriate.
Like, Oh, I just get goosebumps because I know that happens every single day. And we really need to, as an ummah, we need to improve in this, really. Mm-hmm. And it takes each individual, each person to be more mindful of our behavior, mindful of the way we interact, mindful of passing that peace, and mindful of how we give the advice. So what the everything that you mentioned is so critical for preserving our deen, right? Because many times we're focused on increasing, but we got to preserve what we have so that people are not dropping off.
So very true. Right. It's a make or break situation for a lot of people. It really is. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Any other advice any advice on giving advice? What do we need to do?
Yes. So I think, you know, just to kind of wrap up as we talk about all of these, I think I want to reiterate the point of giving advice, right? That you're trying to help another person. Right. And so you have to approach that person in a way that works for them. It's not about you. You're the least important person in this whole interaction, right? It's about this other person and whatever you need to do to make sure that other person is comfortable, to make sure that the advice is seen as being loving, as being caring, right? There are different ways to give advice, right? We see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very gentle with the man who came and urinated in the masjid, right? On the other hand, we see his interaction with Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu when Mu'adh went and led this super long salah, right? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was angry with him. Right. So we're not saying that there's one recipe or it's not one size fits all in how you give advice, but it's more about building a relationship with the person. The Prophet ﷺ had a relationship with Mu'adh bin Jabal. This was his student. Right. So, of course, he knows how to speak with him. He knows how to interact with him. Meanwhile, you have an old man who comes into the masjid, clearly doesn't know what he's doing. Clearly, he hasn't been to this area before. You know, the way you treat that person is going to be different. And I think that's what I want to highlight is that it's about the other person, right? Yes, it's about the other person.
Yeah. And when we prioritize the feelings, the feelings of the other person, where they're at, where they're coming from, and you will just deal with them in such a different level with so much more wisdom and so much more compassion. So that's a very powerful reminder. And we can't have a pre-recorded message that we give to each and every person.
Right.
It really depends on how long they've been Muslim. We had, I had one sister who had, mashallah, taken her shahada. She was American and she had taken her shahada and she came with me and she had, she had nail polish on, right? Mm-hmm. I said, you know what, I'm going to overlook it because it's like, just, you know, embrace Islam. And she's like, I was always very scared. This was in the Emirates. She's like, I was always scared to go to the masjid, right? Mm-hmm. So I chose the prettiest masjid, you know, the nicest environment. We went and we prayed, and I'm just like praying that everything goes smoothly. And right when we finished prayer, the sister that was praying next to us, she goes, you know, nail polish is haram, you know, to her. Just yelled it. And I just said, Jazakallah khair, sister, you know, yesterday she took her shahada. You know, it was just yesterday. She's new, right? I mean, we need to just find out a little bit about the person before we give any advice. And if she had taken the moment to say, how are you? Are you new here? How long have you been a Muslim? If she had said one day, maybe her approach would have been a little different, right?
Right, exactly. Or even if she had realized that, okay, you know, she's come with somebody is already guiding her.
Right.
So I'm not the right person for this conversation. Yeah. She's already got a guide who knows her better than I do, who's taking care of her, you know.
Don't mind on that. It does not concern you. So we need to be careful about that.
Exactly. Right.
MashaAllah, this is very beneficial because we're always faced with situations where, you know, people are making mistakes, they're doing the wrong things, and we're always stuck. What do we do? What do we say? So this was a very good breakdown of, you know, are you qualified? Do you have the knowledge? Do you know the person? How can you approach it to really make the person feel like you care about them? So Jazakallah khairan for your beautiful advice. You give it beautifully. I wish everyone had this. Ustad of Hussaina's approach in giving advice, mashallah. So Jazakallah khairan. May Allah reward you.
Alhamdulillah. This is really what our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, right? And if we just followed him, I think our ummah would be so much stronger, so much more loving, so much more welcoming. So inshallah, I pray that Allah SWT allows us to always model him.
Ameen, ameen. Think to yourself, what would the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do in this situation, exactly, right? That's what we're going to part with. We're going to think about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how he would approach it. Thank you so much for your time and for your beautiful advice. And thank you all for tuning in to the Mindful Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum. Bum 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 b